Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to immerse yourselves in the American Immersion Theater Podcast with your hosts, Scott Crampton and Anessa Johnson.
Greetings, Immersioneers. I'm Scott, the Maverick of Immersion Crampton, and this is my co-host.
I'm Anessa, Experiential Theater Fairy Godmother Johnson. Welcome to On Acting, the American Immersion Theater Podcast. On this show, we teach you to be a better actor.
But to be a better actor, you need to realize it's not just about acting.
It's about interacting.
So sit back and relax as we teach you the American Immersion Theater Method. I don't know why I laughed this time, but your nickname is really, really dumb. it is really dumb. Like, I know if you ever listened to episode one, which was kind of a random cluster, we talk about, like, that's our nicknames and stuff like that. But, yeah, yours is, like, definitely one word too many. So let's dive right into becoming an Immersioneer.
Listen up, Buttercup. We want you to be an Immersioneer.
Today we're going to be focusing on one of the hardest things that actors work on consistently. One of the things we have the most amount of resistance to from the acting community, and that's creating physical moments with customers. And a different way of saying this, Anessa, is
doing things like touching them on the shoulders.
Yes.
Touching them in a non-creepy way.
Yes. the dangers of touching non-creepy. Nessa may spearhead this more than I, because I have that deep voice that makes everything I do sound kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I could, like, here's one. I'll just make this sound creepy. Look on my desk. I have some oyster crackers. Isn't that weird? Didn't it weird you out?
I mean, kind of.
Like, it wasn't even a thing, but it just, because I'm a white male in this society and have a deep voice right now, basically everything I do is one big creep show.
But it really is a hard thing for people, though. It's so hard for people to get past, like, the physical boundaries we kind of put up for ourselves and accept that not only is it okay to touch people, but also that we should.
Yeah, we go farther and farther away from them. They talk about, like, teachers right now and not being able to hug students, or, like, we've gotten to a point where there's some iffiness of high-fiving students.
Yeah, I worked as a school photographer, and we weren't even allowed to, like, if they had a hair out of place, we couldn't even fix that for them. We had to call a teacher over to do that for us if the student, you know, wasn't able to do that themselves, if they were really little. And it's really intense. Like, they would be like, yeah, no high fives. If they high five you, you can high five them back, but don't linger. And it's very strict, which, so, I mean, makes sense. But
the real thing is, in truth, most people aren't creepy. Most people are great.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to be working on today is how to interact with people and actually touch them in ways that generally everybody finds okay.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things to do is talk about some of the easy opportunities of touching people. So people have a few places on their body that nobody really minds being touched. Number one is shoulders. Mm-hmm. Shoulder touches are 100% acceptable for essentially 100% of situations, 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the only one would be, like, I don't know, teenage females not wearing anything on their shoulders for adult men. That might be the one you don't do. But other than that, shoulders are 100% fine 100% of the time. Now, shoulders, again, are not the neck muscle connected to shoulders.
Right.
Shoulders are the, like, the bone and the muscle part that's, like, really the round tip right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's away from everything that's negative, but allows you the opportunity to make things very serious.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this in tons of movies and TV shows. Like, when people get really serious, they're like, they put the hand on the shoulder, mm-hmm. you know. Everybody
put the hand on the shoulder to guide you to look at the thing.
Yes, all of that is fine. Anytime you make people stand up, sit down, that's completely acceptable. Helping people their seats is very acceptable. Holding out a hand for people is very acceptable.
Yeah, people don't really mind their hands being touched.
Exactly.
That is the thing. People are used to handshakes, high fives, all of that totally fine.
As I did the oyster crackers, which I'll try that again. Hey, Nessa, look, I have oyster crackers. Yeah. Everything can sound creepy. soon we'll be making oyster cracker t-shirts. Mm-hmm. But everything can sound creepy and can be creepy. But if you do it in a way that is not meant to be creepy, these are all things that will work 100% of the time. So high fives, 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. If people high five you, those are great. I've picked up people's arms and had them high five me myself, like using them like puppets. Because you can touch people in the wrist, you can high five. I'm kind of doing it with Anessa right now. that's fine. The elbow is generally considered a fine place to be like, ah! And that's one of my go-to places to, like, move people. Like, if I want them to, like, be my puppet, or, like, I take them over and I, like, have them slap their husband or something like that, I usually kind of go from an elbow type thing. So in reality, it's basically shoulder down through arm is very, very acceptable. Now, then all the rest of them are become not universal, but there's hundreds of different great ideas that you can utilize. Mm-hmm. So it kind of depends on who you are and what kind of character you're playing.
It does.
And the person that you're playing the character to.
Definitely.
So, for example, I think that man-on-man hugs are basically acceptable all but 100% of the times. Mm-hmm. Like, so well into the 99.9% range. Like, I wouldn't, if somebody literally pushed me away, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't keep pursuing it. But I've never had that happen. And I've done 1,000 shows and I've probably given, I do at least 5 hugs a show. Mm-hmm. I initiate hugs, man on man. I sometimes initiate female hugs, but I don't do it if there's somebody I would realistically be dating. So, you know, I'm in my mid-30s. I wouldn't do it for females as often between 40 and 20, unless their husbands are there. Then I might do it while looking at their husband.
Directly in the eye.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I will do that because I think that's funny.
But it really does. Like, if you're playing the cougar character, for instance, it's a lot easier to get away with touching anybody. At all, because you're playing the non-threatening 88-year-old woman or whatever. Whereas if you're playing the young femme fatale, it's a little more questionable. You probably shouldn't be touching as many gentlemen there, especially if they're, you know, with a date who looks really aggressive.
But again, any of the normal things are fine.
But shoulders, the normal things are fine.
You can also, what's interesting, if you're a femme fatale character, is you can do a few things that other characters can't do. So, for example, I've never played a femme fatale character. Did you know that, Anessa?
I had my suspicions.
Yeah, I've never done that. In all 1,000 shows, I've never been the Scarlet LaRue.
I thought it'd be a little embarrassing if I called you out on it publicly.
Yeah, that's good. And basically, as a femme fatale character, you can do things like you can play with their hair a lot, especially in a messing it up kind of way.
Yeah.
Because as a femme fatale character, you have a lot of power, especially over men.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have to do is not put yourself in a compromising position using touch. You have to put yourself in a powerful position using touch. So what I try to teach is you do over the top of the flirtatious stuff. So, like, in a flirtatious way, if you might, like, slightly run your hands through their hair, here you would kind of mess up their hair like they're an 8-year-old boy and you're their, like, 12-year-old older brother. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, you might tussle, like, really tussle their hair and be like, oh, you look amazing. I love this hair. It looks like it's actually real. Where did you get it done? And you're like messing up their hair. You can hit them on the nose, like, actually, instead of just doing the normal boop, you can do like a real boop and like you hit them a little too hard. You can play with their ears.
Don't slap them in the face.
Yeah, don't slap them in the face. That's actually shockingly never okay to slap customers in the face.
Yeah, that's
That is a no-no. playing with their ears is fine, especially if, like, you're doing it in a way that is insanely not sexual, but, like, it has the idea that it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
So So, like, if you were doing something sexual with somebody's ears, you might, like, take a finger and run it down their ear. But you should be, like, cupping their ear with your whole hand and being like, oh, I like your ears. And just, like, ear muffing them and, like, wiggling it around and stuff. And you're doing this not just to play with them, but to play with the whole table that's watching you mess with this guy. Mm-hmm. So those are all freedoms you have as, like, the femme fatale. But if you're the 88-year-old woman, you can definitely, like, have them scoot over and sit next to them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes sit in their lap if you have a good read on that. And those things are totally acceptable. Mm-hmm. And this could be Inessa playing both characters, right?
Yep.
And as both characters, one, you definitely don't want to sit next to a guy as a femme fatale. You don't want him to scoot over in his chair and share a chair with him, because that is very intimate. Mm-hmm. And you need to have the full physical control as that character. That's incredibly, incredibly important. And all the things I noted were power moves, right? And those are things you've done, right? You do a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Every now and then it's fun, especially like if you're dealing with a gentleman as you're the femme fatale, it's fun to make him get out of his chair so that you can sit down and talk to his table without him.
That's fun.
I like to be like, you need to leave. We need to have a little ladies' time. You can stand directly behind me and make sure that no one else is eavesdropping.
Yeah, and that's a fun memory that they'll have. They like when you completely break the barrier. And sometimes what I'll do, if I do something like that, I'll, like, eat their food. Mm-hmm. I usually don't use, like, their same fork necessarily, although I've had actors who are great at that. But those kind of things break that touch barrier. And, you know, Justin, who is our national director and has done one of probably only one, maybe two actors that have done more shows of this type than me. He says it's a checklist. It's, oh, look, there's a plane. I can hear a plane going. I don't know if you guys can at home, but we do this show somewhat near an airport. And this is less like a plane. This sounds like they're bombing us.
It's a little noisy.
I feel like I should do a World War II drill.
I don't know. I feel like it's more of a vacuum. Vacuum drill.
Oh, like it sounds like, yeah, maybe I'm just like a dog and I'm terrified of the vacuum right now. So basically, he says it's about making a checklist of touching people, both figuratively and literally. I think that you should try to touch, if you have 100 people in the audience, you should try to touch 100 people. And you can do it in different ways. Now, if I do if there is a attractive female that is in the reasonable range for me to date, then I do completely different gestures. I don't do the kiss hand thing because I think that's something they would get at times and can be creepy. If I'm touching them in any kind of romantic way, I usually just do a hold out the arm thing and we might link arms walking to the table. Mm-hmm. That's generally considered acceptable. My go-to move is the kind of like the air kiss. Mm-hmm. And if they're with a guy, I might air kiss them, where like not air kiss the, you know, air kiss the girl, right? And you know what that is basically you do that, darling, and you and you're like on both sides, but you're not actually anywhere close to touching them,
right?
So you're not breaking any kind of boundaries there. And then I'll go to the guy and be like, "It's so good to see you," and I'll like hug them, you know, and like hug them for an absurdly long amount of time to kind of show them this is where the show is headed. I'm not going to break boundaries from a physical touch standpoint that you aren't necessarily comfortable with from, you know, an attraction of two humans nature. I'm going to break boundaries that you sometimes may not be comfortable with from a comedy nature, because you're going to a different show. And that's what's so important of it. It, once you touch them, they're, it's real now. You're in their world. And I do want to remind you that Sleep No More, one of our favorite shows, and I'm sure has been an inspiration to thousands of immersioneers out there. I have been there, physically witnessed when they have taken off a customer's mask, somebody I know is a customer, and full on kiss them on the lips.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if we've talked about that much.
We don't do that.
We haven't done that. I don't teach that because I think that that is dicey. But that is the level that you that exists in the immersion experiential theater world. So what we're doing is definitely on the safer side of this. those are a bunch of things that I think are very important. But again, you have to, if your character is a suave person, you can absolutely, if you're a male suave person, you can absolutely kiss a lot of hands while looking them directly in the eye, as long as those ladies are 50 and over.
Mm-hmm.
Though, like, if you can create, put them into what you might call a cougar situation,
mm-hmm.
where you're a younger guy flirting with them, well, that's totally different because that makes them feel great.
Right.
That can make somebody feel wonderful. Mm-hmm. In the same way, it works the exact opposite way. You know, mm-hmm. if a 25-year-old comes on to a 50-year-old guy, that's like the stock standard of like, oh, he must be a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm not advocating or agreeing with, but I'm just saying that that can make somebody feel very special to be like, yeah. oh, wow, they still got it.
Yeah, definitely.
That doesn't happen with females as much. I'm not saying it's not okay or it doesn't happen at times, but that's something you can give out. I absolutely 100% flirt and touch with people in their 60s or 70s at shows.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 100% on board. And I mean, if I get the wrong body language, I won't be, but mm-hmm. I have never had that go bad.
Right.
It's like when there used to be a guy in our troupe named Ben, and Ben was an okay actor, but he was absurdly good looking. And we had this show where he didn't have the proper training that we normally do on the show. It was like kind of an emergency cast. And we just cast him as Enrique Estrada.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, I want you to go in there and flirt with every single woman over 50. And I don't care about anything else. Just, I want you to flirt with that. And they loved him. He mm-hmm. got far and away the biggest applause. He created tons of special moments. Nobody thought it was very real because, again, these are non-traditional, unrealistic, uncommon dating scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
I flirted quite a bit. I played a bisexual character. I played Reginald bisexually when I did the Navy,
mm-hmm.
The Navy shows. And I flirted with a tremendous amount of male sailors.
Mm-hmm.
And they absolutely adored it. They yeah. loved me for it. Like, I wasn't sure if that would play out or not.
Mm-hmm.
But in honesty, they were going more.
Okay. all right.
I've said this many times. I think it's very true. I think there's a level right now that we have with, you know, how men treat women and how men are supposed to treat women, and women treat men. But when you have like two or three guys in a group flirt with each other incessantly.
Yeah.
If you go into a men's room, if you're a female and you've never been like eavesdropping on a men's room, it is a filthy place, but not in the way you expect. I have almost never brought up a female in a men's room, but I have flirted with every guy in a men's room all the time. I'm not saying, just to be clear, I'm not saying like the men's room at Lowe's. I'm talking right. like the office men's room where we go in there with like two or three other guys. That's how guys work. They're mm-hmm. filthy to each other about each other.
Yeah.
And we, so like those kind of things, you just have to know your character. You have to know who you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
So I've probably gone a little bit off topic in a sense. We have kind of a list of things that we wanted to talk about. So Vanessa, you wanted to bring this up, which I think is important.
Yeah. So while we're talking about touching, I do want to know, it's not just about you touching them as the actor. It's also important if you can find opportunities for them to touch each other. So when you're doing your introductions, make them shake each other's hand or give each other a high five. Or something I saw recently, one of our actors here did, is when he made everyone at the table or was explaining the rules to everyone at the table, he made everyone at the table link up their pinkies and pinky swear each other that they weren't going to lie. So all eight of them linked up and around a circle were pinky swearing each other. And it was such a simple thing, but it completely broke that barrier and got them, you know, really on board with being a team. And they were suddenly pals because yeah. they've held pinkies.
And I proctored that show or audited that show. I can't remember. it's a word.
You took notes at the show.
I was at the show. And that was David Garland. So shout out to David Garland.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's bring it back to one of the oldest forms of theater, one of the oldest things that places that people used to go. And let's bring it to church. And I promise I'm not getting religious here, but if you've been to church, particularly like a Christian-based church, there is a part of it where often they have you stand up, say good morning, and shake the hand of somebody you didn't come in with.
Yeah.
And that is one of their ways to try to create a community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an important way to create a community.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see when you're there, like the room changes, the atmosphere, the general vibe of the area changes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we're linking up. I have a line in one of my things that says basically, we are all brothers and sisters. There is no you, no us, only no them, only us. There is no you, no them, only us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how I feel. And we've gotten to a bad place in, you know, American culture right now, not in Europe and quite a few other places, but in American culture, we've gotten darn near terrified to touch people. And mm-hmm. that is ruining some of the concepts of experiential entertainment. You need to be able to take people by the hand. You need to be able to do this. Now,
it adds so much.
Now, it does not give you carte blanche to do, you know, what bad touches are. And let's go talk about bad touches.
So obviously there's the spots that you just should not touch. We don't even need to tell you that you don't need to touch someone's booty.
Yes.
Please don't put your hand on the small of someone's back, especially if you're a man touching a woman.
It has become creepy. It's become creepy now. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Yeah.
Because 20 years ago it was like, and make sure to turn. Well, that's not 20 years ago.
It was 90s. It's like the 20s.
So like, yeah, it was my 20s voice and stuff like that. But like, I remember even I took an etiquette class at Grand Valley, mm-hmm. and they literally said, and this is a decade ago, literally said, when a woman's walking through the door, make sure to put your hand on the small of her back.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's become like a thing.
Yeah.
So you have to be culturally aware now. Like, I never do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I view the small of a woman's back up there with, like, basically boobs. I'm mm-hmm. never touching it.
Yep. Yeah, like, just don't. It's just not a good idea.
It's never happening.
Yeah.
So what's some other stuff?
Well, like we talked about, it can really depend on who you are as a person. So, for example, same-sex touching is generally a lot more acceptable. For me as a woman, I can get away with a lot more things than Scott can.
Yeah.
So it's it really depends on who you are that can determine what's appropriate and also who your character is.
Yeah. Twirling, a man can twirl mm-hmm. a female, and I've never heard any female being like, oh my God, what a creeper. He twirled me.
That's true. I kind of want to twirl a man now that you mentioned
it. You can.
That'd
you
be
can
fun.
Definitely twirl a
I'm
man.
Do
that's,
that.
That's fine.
I'm fine.
It is. I'm a shorter guy, so I can tell you from experience, height can be a factor in that.
I have a show next week. It's happening.
Nice.
I'm finding a reason.
So I know that this topic, and I want to touch now about like the fears.
Mm-hmm.
Actors have so many fears about this. I feel like we've been being bred as a society.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pick apart this episode too and just be like, hey, oh yeah, well, I have a neighbor who once had a clown touch his shoulder. And because of that, whenever he gets his shoulder touched, he just goes swinging and punches and he carries a gun.
Maybe
you know,
don't bring him to one of our shows.
there are always extreme examples for anything, but you have to think of it like this. What is our goal? Our goal is not about being creepy. Our goal is to bring people together.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal is to find a way to unite people that don't know each other and take them through an experience together where they can do something they've never done and be better. And so the initial thing is, it's coming from a good place.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody can make anything sound like it's not, but this is. We're trying for this. So if you're thinking about comments or thinking about fears, initially say, why am I trying to disrupt something that's supposed to be positive?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I make something like this positive? So as far as fears go, start small. I always say start with shoulders and stuff like that
mm-hmm.
and move from there.
Yep.
After you've done that, like, just take a breath and realize that you touch people all the time. You touch people constantly on the hands. You high five people. Try doing it out in public more. High five your banker next time you deposit a check. You know, shake hands with the cashier. Pat somebody on the shoulder. There's a lot of stuff you can do, and you'll find that people are more engaged with that. We actually teach, and it's not part of this particular lesson or whatever you want to say, but we teach that people learn more through touch. Mm-hmm. So if you give instructions, we always give in our table speech, the final instructions, you put your hands on both their shoulders, you have them look around. Sometimes you actually take one hand off, move their head, and you say you cannot lie. Because if you're touching somebody, they have, I believe it's a 60% more chance to retain that information than if you just said it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, final thing, and I think this is big for actors in general, about touching. Actors should touch each other.
Yep.
This is one of the number one reasons that plays look bad, one of the number one reasons that things like when you're doing an audition, it doesn't feel right. And it's because you don't know the person well enough to touch them, so you're not, but you're playing a character that does.
Right.
And I think it's so weird that, you know, you might be two lovers and you're talking to each other like 4 feet away.
Mm-hmm. Or you're like, man, get a hold of yourself. You're acting crazy. And you're standing completely far apart. Like, no, put your hand on his shoulders. Tell him he's acting crazy.
That was our professional thing, professional phone going off. Sorry about that. Say your last thing a bit. What was the last word you said that you got interrupted for?
I don't remember anymore.
If only this were a professional podcast.
Touch him by the shoulders. That's what I was saying. Yeah.
Okay. So let's just talk about the last thing here, which is sight obstruction, sound barriers, stuff like that. So when you look into a room and you're figuring out who needs the most amount of attention, so this is kind of like a new topic-ish. All right. So when you're looking at a room as an actor, one of the biggest things that you should know is who has the worst seats. And Anessa, why do you want to know who has the worst seats?
Because the people with the worst seats are the ones who are going to need the most attention. You have the people who have the great, amazing seats. They're sitting right in the heart of the action. They're getting all of the, like, beautiful scene from the actors right in front of their faces. They're having an amazing time. They're golden. But the team who's in the back of the room, maybe they have a wall that's kind of inconveniently placed, so they have to kind of crank around a little bit to see. Those are the people that you really need to spend some extra time with, because they're going to need a little bit more attention to feel like they're really part of it. So it's really important to locate those people so that you can go to them and actually create a lot more of those special moments for them, you know, via touch or just messing around with them, special jokes, special clues. Just those are the people to really, really focus your attention on and make sure that you're pulling them in.
You know, there's a great book called Story Branding by Donald Miller, and there's so much requirement to read it if you work here. Although I don't think, have you read it, Anessa?
I have not. No. Nope, I'm one that has not had to yet.
But
I say had to.
To be fair, Anessa survives on her MacGyver-like skills.
It's true.
And cannot actually read or write, just like I can't.
Yeah, I'm just too busy fairy godmothering. Don't have time to learn.
So, but there's a great book called Story Branding. And in Story Branding, he kind of relates calorie burning to attention span. So he says, how hard does somebody have to work to be able to buy into what you're saying? And if it's very hard or even medium, they're probably not going to pay attention. You've probably lost them already.
Mm-hmm.
So as actors, as immersioneers, as anybody who's going into this kind of acting field, you need to identify the people that have the worst seats, and that's your job to entertain them the second there's a break of any kind. Mm-hmm. You need to make them feel more special. Yeah. And you will be able to identify them, because 99%, ironically, they won't get up from their bad seat.
Yep.
Because they're just not as engaged.
Right.
They're not as engaged.
They're not as invested. So for them, they're fine to sit in their seat and just wait until the next thing happens. So that's why it's so important to go over and pull them into the investigation or into whatever is happening at that time.
It's also why people who have better Broadway seats like that show better. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it's just a truth. Like, if you have, like, upper mezzanine, you can't see facial expressions.
Right.
Like, those people need something more, and they don't get anything more because, you know, let's face it, Broadway's kind of elitist. and it's just about how much you spend on a ticket, depending on how much the show is valuable or worth. And the fact they don't even put up screens is always crazy to me because...
Yep.
I mean, like, you can't see the play.
Right. You see Blob waving their arms up in the air. So that probably is.
And what's interesting about that, this is obviously tangent-y, but they don't have that same view with sound. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not like, well, you're too far away, you can't hear.
No.
I mean, have binoculars on every seat, something. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can't do a screen, do binoculars, do something. I mean, they do that, from my understanding, in every opera, if you have those five seats that everybody in every movie, play, and TV show gets in opera, which is that, like, weird house thing where they're looking up on it, looking down, you know what I'm talking
about? Yeah.
It's where it's
like the side balcony. Yeah, there's a name for them. I don't remember what it is, but
there is. is where the old men sit for the Muppets.
Mm-hmm. It's where all the rich people go.
So yeah, and I love those are my favorite characters of Muppets. By the way,
they're great.
My favorite joke of all of them is they're watching the Muppets thing, and I think they're in the hospital or something, and one of them is like, "Nurse, there's something wrong with this TV," and the other one says, "Yeah, it's on." that's everything today for our odd acting thing. Basically, I just want to mention real quick, we do have spring auditions coming up. You can go to AIT.careers. That's AIT.careers, and you can check us out. Spring auditions, always a little easier to make it into than fall, more cattle call style auditions, because they're a little bit more one-on-one. They're a little bit more usually private, depending on the troupe. Mm-hmm. We have troops everywhere from Seattle to Florida to New York to Kansas City to Baltimore to four places in California. All right, well, you guys get it. It was a lot of places. If you've listened to this and you're like, I live in the U.S. and I don't live in basically
the
Montana, the UP of Michigan, and Hawaii or Alaska, you can audition. So we'd love to see you. And that is a wrap. So this is Scott from American Immersion Theater reminding you that theater is a story about others.
American Immersion Theater is a story about you. Good night.
Good night.
Say something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.